Welcome to The Wrap, a Warren Averett podcast for business leaders designed to help you access vital business information and trends when you need it so you can listen, learn, and then get on with your day. Time is tight. That's why our advisors have wrapped up today's most timely topics into a podcast with actionable advice. Now, let's get down to business.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Paul.
How are you today?
I'm good. I am still at home. You're still at home.
It is lovely to be back on a podcast with you, season four. I think this is becoming fun conversations, listening to owners of CEOs and founders of companies and figure out how they handled the crisis that's been happening in the business world. And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nice to hear stories that are positive, even though we've talked to business owners that have had very significant downturns in their business this year, but the way that they've responded has been very positive for them and their teams. And I am just excited again, have another business owner with us today that can talk about how they've taken a crisis and turned it into an opportunity. And so today we have my friend Casey Graham with us, and he's the co-founder and CEO of Gravy Solutions. He has, by the way, started, grown, and sold three businesses and hit the Inc. 5000 list three times in a row. And as I mentioned before, I hope everybody's had their energy drinks, because Casey has energy that we all have to try to keep up with. So welcome, Casey, to our podcast.
Hi, Kim. I will try to tone down the energy.
No, we don't want you to tone it down.
Bring it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Thanks
but Casey is, I joked when we first got him on here that he is the king of LinkedIn. And I hope he'll share a little bit more about that with us today, because that is for sure something I've seen from him and his company as a way that they've responded to this crisis. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about what he's got going on there, but we're really excited to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Casey, can you give us a brief overview of your company mission and kind of the operations there at Gravy?
Yep. So Gravy, we're just over 3 years old. Our mission has been super clear that we want to return $1 billion back to businesses by the end of 2023. And when we say return back to businesses, essentially what we do is when there's a failed credit card transaction, either at purchase or if it's on a subscription or any different transaction that fails for any different reason, that we don't believe those are payments. We believe they're people. And we believe that people respond better to people. And so we've created a people company. We call it a one-to-one mindset, meaning that we treat everybody like they're the only one, but we built a one-to-many scale model in the back end with technology that allows us to scale that so we can, you know, process 4 million transactions a month right now. And those are human beings that we're winning customers back to businesses. And that's what we do.
So Casey, tell us a little bit about how Gravy has been impacted by COVID-19 and how you've responded.
Yeah, it was weird. We didn't know if we were going to get cut or like, we didn't know. So in 2017 at a board meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, where Paul is sitting right down the street, I'm assuming from where he is, we built a model called the recession accelerated model, meaning that we wanted to be in a position to be accelerated through recession. Meaning that we wanted to be in the transaction stream that online, that it would be something, but we never would have guessed. I was thinking a financial recession, not a virus, right? And so it was one of those things where, I mean, if we would have been in the restaurant industry, it'd be totally different. But we are all subscription online businesses, from e-commerce to all of this kind of stuff. And so we didn't know. We got hit a little bit at first, because what happened was our pricing model was tied to a percentage. And so all of our businesses at first, they quit selling. They didn't know what to do. They froze. And so we saw we were growing highest month ever in January. Then we hit February, we were still moving up. And then March, they froze, but we were in we lag on the revenue. And so our April and May kind of stood still. And then now we've gone back up. And last month, we had a record month. And this month, we'll have another record month. And our pivots weren't in our product, and our pivots weren't in our service, because we only lost one customer that said, because of COVID, we're leaving. And so essentially we figured out that we're above the are you essential line. Isn't that the question of 2020, right?
And so, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And so because of that, So we had five levers that we had ready. So we do war games in our business all the time, and we war game it. And so we have three different scenarios at all time based upon if this happens, and this happens. So it's best case scenario, worst case scenario, and the probable scenario. And so we have levers set up for those things of what we're going to pull first and what we're going to do first. And so inside of this, the levers that we pulled, the first one was the PPP loan, which you guys were leading on, all this kind of stuff. We didn't even know that would be a lever until it was a lever. So it went to the top of the, because it's there, that's lever number one. So anyway, I'm not going to walk you through all the different details of that, but we were ready for levers. And the last lever that we were going to pull was, we had enough cash to know that we wouldn't have to let anybody go for 6 months at our current level, that we could go bare bones. And so we made, at the very beginning, the thing that we did with our team is we said, hey, listen, we don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to be clear with you. Nobody will take a pay cut. Nobody will be furloughed. And nobody will have, you do not have to worry about that. We have a 6 month runway and then we'll see what happens. And I think when we did that message, it changed something internally. It gave them clarity and it gave them a sense of confidence and it gave them a sense of I'm okay, or we're gonna be okay and we can get through this. And that's when everything changed. And in the market on LinkedIn, you started talking about that. The biggest thing that birthed out of this is nobody knew Gravy existed. Like, nobody. We were a local, one niche, nobody knows we exist. And then when chaos hits, leaders love chaos. Great leaders love chaos because chaos gives you the opportunity to be the person or the group of people that cast a clear and compelling vision of how do you get through this and what are we going to do? Not bravado, but also not shutting up and being a voice. And we knew what we had internally, but nobody did. And so essentially what we did is we turned our Slack is our headquarters. So we call Slack our headquarters. We essentially took Slack and we turned it inside out for the world to see. And that's who we've been for 3 years. And then people started to become attracted to our culture and attracted to what we were doing. We didn't really do anything different except for just started sharing with like who we are and why we do. But we don't talk about what we do on LinkedIn ever.
I love that. And I think you've probably heard the same message recently, but you know, in the absence of certainty, clarity is the next best thing. And we talk about that a lot, is that as a leader, if you can provide clarity, then that creates the synergy and the calm for your team. Even when it's full of uncertainty, right? None of us can predict, even right now where we sit, how the rest of the year is going to go. But we can be very clear on our vision and our goals and who we are and what message we'll give to our clients, our customers.
Totally. That's an interesting point. And then it's still a running theme from even the last couple podcasts of loyalty, right? So Casey's talking about creating this culture with his team of I'm going to be open, I'm going to be clear. And he said something changed, and that what changed was what was probably already there that continued on and got stronger was the loyalty of his team. Would be my guess, Casey. And, yeah. And that loyalty is important.
Yeah, so we increased generosity. So we would do weekly gifts. So every team meeting, we would do like, hey, we'll pay your Spotify for 2 months. Or the next week we would do, our gift was our lead team would send out to all the direct reports. We would do something where we would send videos to people's kids at home and tell them what their parents, does it work in like a kid language, and say like, your parents are YouTube superstar and you don't even know it or whatever, and just joke around.
I love that.
And so
that's
we would
awesome.
Give, those are free, right? Spotify is how much, you know, 10 bucks a month kind of thing or whatever. But the point wasn't that. The point was we felt like in times of uncertainty that you increase the amount that you give. You increase the amount that you communicate. You increase the amount of information that you get. Like all of our financials are, before this, we were completely open book and we're open book now. So I don't know if y'all recommend that or not, but we're open book. We don't show individual salaries, but we tell anybody any piece of financial information that they want to know, and we communicate it clearly at all times. The point of all of that is, and I send a weekly email out every single week that gives updates, not boring updates, but like real stuff that's going to really impact them and give them confidence and clarity. And so my whole thing is that vision leaks, and that you have to consistently provide vision through the crisis. But my thing is all the time, like that's what we do as leaders. And so many leaders get caught up in, the management and where's this going to be and who's going to do that and all this kind of stuff. And I think the leader's chief primary responsibility is the vision of the business.
If you can repeat your vision often enough and you have other people repeating your vision, then that multiplies the amount of people that are casting vision over your company, right? So in a small team, you know, it might be easy for the leader to be able to have enough one-on-one to be able to cast that vision. But as you get bigger and bigger, you need other people to carry that vision to continue to cast it, right? So that you have, that multiplies the effect of it. And I think that's the point that you're making, is like, you cannot repeat your vision too many times.
Here's what I say. They're just now getting your vision when you're sick of saying it. Mm-hmm. So they're just getting it when you're sick of saying it. And so every single week, every single one-on-one, every single call, every single thing that we do inside of our business, we ask the question, what is our mission? To return $1 billion back to businesses. What is our vision? It is to accelerate freedom. Well, what does that mean to you personally? And then, and we'd go through that. And so what we did, we just had a summit. We brought people together and we gave a white piece of paper out and we said, what's the mission? Write it down. Can't look at anybody. Got 30 seconds. What's this? And so we're constantly driving around, because like Andy Stanley says, is that memorable is portable. And so we got to create simple vision for people to go through. And you say, well, what does it have to do with COVID? Well, it has everything to do with it. Because through the middle of the ups and the downs and the turbulence is saying, hey, Jim Collins says, we're going to confront the brutal facts. But at the same time, we're going to remain hopeful that we will prevail in the end. And so when you're open and honest about what's happening in real time, that's the brutal facts. And what most people do in crisis, they just talk about the brutal facts and then they get scared. But if you have the hope of the vision of like, I know it sucks now, but this is where we're going then. And I believe that vision is more of a dialogue than a monologue. I believe vision is 80% listening and gaining awareness of where your people are and understanding and being empathetic with that, with your customers and your people. And then when you cast that vision, you can have it. It's compelling and people will stay with you through a crisis. And that's what we learned.
Casey, you sit there and you talk a little bit about some of your experience through this pandemic. What would you say is the most challenging aspect of it? And how did you, or how did the company address it?
Here's the most challenging aspect. And we actually talked about this for my keynote at our summit club last week. We lost $571,000 of ARR in February in this weird thing with where we have like our second largest client and then like five or six other clients. We'd never, our churn is less than 2% revenue churn. And we were going to lose literally almost $600,000 in a period of about 4 weeks. And I set, when I go through situations that I feel like are overwhelming, I talk to my Siri on my phone and I hope she doesn't wake up. And I say, hey, and I'm not going to say her name so she wakes up. And I say, this is what happened today. We lost 500. And I set a reminder for a year later. And I ask myself a question, how big of a deal is this now? And did you, the question of this was, did you die? Did the company die? Did you get over it or something else? Well, I didn't know that something else was going to be a pandemic the next month. So we have 600,000, a pandemic, and we have the reminder set. And the point of me saying that is, yes, I'm reactionary to like ideas. Yes, I'm a visionary, but I went through a time in my life after I sold my last company where I wanted to jump off a bridge. I was depressed. I hated my life. My wife didn't like me. I didn't like me. Had tons of money and didn't know what to do, you know, like all of the things. And that 14 months of a desert season of my entrepreneurial life, when we went through this, I felt like it set me up to go, listen, hey, if my wife likes me and I like me, and if I got my family and I've got some friends, and it wasn't BS, it was just like, I truly believe that if I've got those relationships, then all of this is, if we go out of business or not, like my identity is not tied to if gravy is successful or not. And so, yes, I have stress. Yes, I want to win, but I'm not gravy and gravy's not me. And so I think that allows me to disconnect from the result. And then even if it's a crappy situation, we can lock arms together and say, this sucks, but we're going to get through it together and we're not tied to the result.
What you did, Casey, was you lived through the reality of it, right? So you stayed optimistic about what to do, but you didn't forget about the reality of what you were going through. Mm-hmm. And that's another theme, I think. You know, at the end of season four, we could almost write a summary of what does it take for a CEO, for a culture, for an organization to get through a pandemic. And we're going to have common themes. And yes, we can be optimistic, but we can't forget about the reality of what's going on. And that seems to be just another one of those themes that's running through all of these.
Yeah. And I don't claim that we did everything right. And that you could go talk to, you know, I would say discount what CEOs say by 50%. And I say, go talk to the accountants. They'll tell you the truth.
Well, I'm glad you're pointing them to our direction. Thank you for that.
Anyway, but I'm not going to claim that. But what I will claim is we built a mantra inside called Built for This. And being built for this and having short-term mantras, even our team, about every 90 days, we'll build a mantra. We build a mantra. And having just some clarity and having a statement, having something to hang on to and cast vision around, has been something that we've learned through this as well.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
So Casey, I know you, and I know that you have so much energy about life and you do everything at the level 10. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, COVID comes and slaps us all upside the face in March and, you know, leaves most business owners stunned a little bit for a little while before they can regain their composure. So it doesn't surprise me that you were like, let's just go full force after it. But what advice do you have for other businesses that find themselves struggling, you know, with a similar challenge of this pandemic? And maybe they aren't built exactly like you. Maybe sure. They are hearing this and saying, well, that's great, Casey, but I don't have the same mindset as you. And what advice would you give to that business owner?
To me, this is the great reset. And again, you may say, Casey, even in your pessimism, your optimism is coming through. But I believe, like, we were able to change our whole pricing structure. So we challenged every assumption, and it's the great reset. And so I think for people's lives, the question is, if I was listening to this and my business was decimated, which, by the way, I just was with a guy last week, we both know business decimated, completely done. And the exercise that we went through was, what skills did you pick up leading that business? And what relationships did you pick up? And we did an assets inventory, not necessarily financial, but an assets inventory of what do you have? Because everybody talks about what they lose and what they don't have. But when you start building a mental and you write it down on paper, literally on a whiteboard, this is everything I have left out of this. And most business owners have a lot more than they think they have because they only focus on the money and they only focus on the business model. From that is the beginning place of creating the next best business, of everything that you learn from this one and everything you wish you could change from this one. And so I see too many people trying to hang on. Like, listen, and I'm not trying to be rude or mean, but like, if it's over, like my buddy's business in the event business, he could hang on and believe, but you know, he's been doing it for 7 years. Hey, sometimes you just got to go, I'm killing this, because I believe that until you kill something, that new vision usually doesn't start because you're hanging on and trying to hang on. And so I would say, don't worry about hanging on, build the asset inventory list. And then from there, the second thing I would do is I would build the criterias of what does the next business have to have. And so that's how we built Gravy. So I had another business before this, and I hated having to be the guy on camera. I hated it. I hated it, hated it, hated it. I was tired of being Mickey Mouse or Bozo or whatever you want to call it. Stand up and wave your hands, and then that's how your business runs. And so I said inside of the business criteria that me nor Renee would have to either sell nor deliver any of the stuff, right? It would be a brand-based business. It wouldn't be that. That's just an example. So I would go through and go, what do you not like about your current business? For instance, if you're in a restaurant and you're saying, I don't like having to be there. Well, then it may be a different type of restaurant, maybe a different type of business. And so that's what I would do. Is that helpful?
Yeah, but I think it's funny that you didn't want to be the face, and then now I see your face everywhere. So,
but I'm not,
but it's different.
It doesn't drive me revenue.
I know, but it's just funny. You know, you want to hear God laugh, you tell him your plans. And so you're like, I don't want to be on camera. And then he's like, here, you're going to have this company where you're going to be on some of the top podcasts in the country. I'm not referring to ours, but I am, of course, referring to ours.
Of course, I love it. Well, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. I believe energy is a skill. Energy is not you have energy or you don't. Energy is a skill. And so one of my coaches, I talk to him every Monday morning. He says, reach behind your back, and he says, just turn it on. And you turn it on when you're in line of sight of your people. You've got to turn it on. So line of sight for your people. And that means show up digitally on Slack. We do not allow people not to show up on Slack. Like, you have to have we call it an internal reputation. What is your, in your reviews, what is your internal reputation? Well, I'm just not like that. Okay. Well, you're not going to be here. Like, you, that's great. If you don't want to be participate, because that's all we have. Mm-hmm. When you get on a podcast, when you're talking to your team, and everybody doesn't have to be like me. Everybody doesn't have to have passion and enthusiasm. But your version of a smile, your version of an energy, it is a switch. And then here's another thing I tell people about that is people say that their job ruined their family. I don't believe that. Mm. Like you can't, when you have time to be down during the day, turn it off. I go to the gym every day at noon, turn it off. I mean, I'm at the gym, but my people energy, I don't talk to anybody at the gym. I'm not trying to be cool. I don't want to know anybody. I just want to go in, do my thing. And so energy is a skill. And we've got to learn when to turn it on, when to turn it off. And I do not accept the fact that I'm just low energy. That's bullcrap. You choose your energy, and through a crisis or not, and we get the opportunity to do that.
Well, and I think that's so important now. I talk about this with my leadership team here in Atlanta is constantly, you know, when you're physically with someone, energy transfers, but it doesn't transfer as easily over a Teams call or a Skype call or a Zoom call. And so you have to be even that much more intentional about your engagement and your energy. And so, like, one of the things that I guess come to be known for in this world, this new world, is I'll video call everyone because I want to see you. I get your energy if I can see you. It's much harder if I'm just on the phone. And, and I think, you know, that's just a new way of doing business. But, you know, all the people on my team laugh now because they're like, I got to be ready. Kim's going to video call me at any time. But it's truly because I think I'm trying to maximize the energy that we can share. And in this virtual world we're living in, to me, that's the way I can get it and give it.
I agree. And it's intentional. It's intentional.
And, you know, during all of this pandemic stuff, I mean, I've video called friends that I hadn't talked to in 2 or 3 years. And I said, every week I want to talk to somebody else that I haven't seen in a very long time. I want to see their face. And it's a constant thing. And I was talking to one of my staff back when kind of all of this started hitting, and we were talking about, you know, just checking in on all my staff, wherever they were. And I called and I said, I hope everything's going okay. And he said, Paul, you know, the silver lining for me, that's how he started the conversation. And I'm like, you're light years beyond your age. He said, the silver lining for me is I hope my relationships with people are more genuine and they're stronger when this is all over with, right? Because that's really what we're trying to build. And when you take away our interaction on a day-to-day, all we have left is the relationship we've built or we continue to build. So Casey, you know, as a business leader, as the CEO of a company, you've probably had some takeaways, maybe from a personal experience, that will stay with you and impact you the way you lead your business. What are some of those areas?
One thing I would say is use everything. And what I mean by that is there's no external decline or there's no external situation that can be worse than internal unhappiness. And so drawing back on the worst 14 months of my life is something that I learned a big lesson on, is I kept going, because you forget. Sometimes we forget what we've gone through. And as entrepreneurs and leaders, I always say that we sweep away our successes about every 5 minutes. And we forget all the times we overcame. We forget all the pivots we made before. We forget those things. And so I think there's power in going back and not waiting to have to be in a crisis to go back. But I guarantee you, if I asked you, Paul, or if I asked you, Kim, if I said, Tell me the worst thing you've ever gone through in your life. And we started there. And tell me the next one. And tell me about the time that you were laying awake at 3 a.m. and that you were worried to death about. And we built those. There's something about the confidence of going back and living inside of that. That gives me the confidence in going forward. And so one of the things I do every week is I take inventory and I just look back. And so on Fridays, I'll look back and I'll look at 10 things. I'll go 10 things that I was accomplishments or proud of. Like you guys, this would be on there and say, we completed a podcast. We shared great energy and that's it with Kim and Paul. And you forget about these opportunities. You forget about those things. And so that may be a weird answer, but I like to draw on my past more than I do of some, you know, drunk. I tell entrepreneurs, they're so drunk on their future vision. Like, and I love it. Listen, I'll go get visionary as hell with you, but I am a realist to the core, and I believe your past informs your future vision, and whatever you overcame in the past, you'll be able to overcome the future, and that's where my confidence comes from.
So what does the future look like for Gravy? What's the plan going forward? Has that changed out of COVID, and what's the future for you?
Yeah, so Gravy is very simple in the idea of until we return $1 billion back to businesses. As long as I'm here, we're not stopping. Okay. So, but what that means is we're investing heavily in technology. So we will become more, instead of a tech enabled service, we will become more of a technology company as we move into the future. And that will just allow us with scale and, you know, this, that, and the other. So yes, internally, the technology is moving. Our brand is what's exploding. If you took a brand survey of every person on LinkedIn, they'd never heard of Gravy in January, to now we're named in the top three with all of the big companies, but we've only raised $1.5 million and still own 85 to 90% of the company. And so we're doing more with less. And so we feel like we're like the underdog mentality, and that's what we're doing. And so what that has done is we cracked the code on LinkedIn. And so behind me, we're building a software product that's almost like, you know, when they built the shuttle, they accidentally figured out how to build a microwave. So this is the microwave that's coming out of it. And this product is going to be, because we're going to kill resumes. All resumes need to die and personal brands need to increase. And but people don't post because they don't know what to say. And so we figured out a way to create a technology that helps them know what to say. Create an index score to show them how well they're doing. Cause you don't know, am I doing well on LinkedIn? Well, we know how to do it. And then we're going to be able to give them analytics in the dashboard and the masterclass coaching around that. And so that's a company that's been birthed out of COVID will come from this. And so it'll be a totally separate company. But what we tell people internally is like, my goal is to create 7 millionaire CEOs out of, we have what's called an entrepreneurial tree in every company. And I want 7 that run 7 companies that are not connected in necessarily what they do, but connected in our network and have leaders come out of this. And we got a great lady who is going to come out of this, and she's going to lead that company. And hopefully our goal is to be acquired by LinkedIn.
So Casey, here on The Wrap, we ask our guests to wrap it up in 60 seconds or less. Actionable advice you can give our listeners, business leaders, you know, what would you say from your company story, your personal experiences, what you've been through during this time and kind of going forward?
Yeah, you are not your business. The way to ruin your life is to integrate your who you are with your business. And the way to live a life that, because I've done both. I lived the first 36 years of my life for me, and everything was about being successful. And that was a bunch of fear. You can have enjoyment in running a business. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to ruin your family. You don't have to live that way. So if you are living that way, it's an excuse and you can change it. And reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd be more than happy to help.
Well, thank you so much, Casey. I we've been friends for a long time, and I certainly have benefited from watching you grow and lead, and I'm grateful for that. And so now I'm grateful that our listeners get to learn from you and you know, hear your story. And so I just really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Paul. Yep. Y'all have a great day.
And that's a wrap. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a review on your streaming platform. To check out more episodes, subscribe to our podcast series, or make a suggestion for other topics to cover, visit us at warrenaverett.com/thewrap.